Our reading this evening is Romans chapter 10, which you can find on page 946 in your pew Bibles. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How often has something been right in front of your nose and you couldn't see it? You missed it? Just yesterday, I was holding something in my teeth so I could use my hands, and then I found myself checking my pockets, trying to find out where it was. It was in my mouth. I was holding it in my teeth. How often have your glasses been on your head or your wallet in your hand? Whatever it might be, how often has something been right in front of your nose and you just couldn't see it? That's what St. Paul is talking about when he's thinking about his brothers, the Jews, who missed Jesus, who didn't see him when he was right in front of their eyes. They had been missing it for a long time. It wasn't just when Jesus came and lived and walked among them and was crucified and died and was buried. They missed it for a long time. They missed that God wants to give us good things. He doesn't want us to try to earn them or to deserve them. He wants to give them as gifts, including, and most importantly, his righteousness. They thought that the righteousness of God was something for them to work for by keeping the commandments of God. And so there they sat in that courtroom like you and I all sit, and the charges were heaped up in front of them like they are heaped up in front of you and me, and the verdict is coming, guilty. And the Jews were thinking to themselves, look, we can do this. We can keep God's law. We can make it right. We can deal with this pile of charges. We cannot be guilty. We can get ourselves out of this tough jam. They were believing in a righteousness that would come by working through the law. But as St. Paul had said earlier, if righteousness could have come through the law, we wouldn't have had any need for Jesus. And it's precisely because no one can clear the table of those charges. No one can get rid of them. No one can give himself a clean heart. It's precisely for that reason that Jesus came.
And that courtroom turned into a father's home, and the charges were dismissed, and Christ suffered and died in our place. That's what they missed. They missed that while God had given the law, showing them that what was good and right and true, he had also given them one who would fulfill the law in their place. Christ, St. Paul says, is the end of the law. That doesn't mean that Jesus came to do away with the law, to say that the commandments aren't true anymore. No, you still should not murder, and you still should not steal, and you should still keep the Sabbath day, and you should still honor God, worship him above all else. But Jesus is the end of the law in this way. He was the goal. That word end in this case means goal. Jesus was the goal of the law. All of what came before, all of the rules and the regulations and the sacrifices and the temple and everything that the Jews were putting their trust in, all of that was pointing ahead to Jesus. And when Jesus came, they missed it. They didn't see that here was the fulfillment. Here is what it was all about, because they had been trusting in themselves. It's like if you were going on a trip, if you planned a trip to Mount Rushmore, and you were going to see the heads of all those presidents carved in the rocks, and you were driving and driving for hours to get there, and then when you got there, you just kept on going, and you missed it. That's what it was like for the people of Israel. They missed it. Or if you're planning a wedding, you're going to get married, and the preparations take months and months, and all of the things are arranged, the caterer and the photographer and the flowers and all of that, and you get to your wedding day, and you show up before the altar, and you don't say, "I do." Just, it doesn't happen. You missed it. You missed the point of the whole thing. What were all the preparations for? What was all the driving for? What was all of God's word for? What was all of his talk about righteousness? What were his commandments? What were the laws? What were they for? But to show us, to prepare us to receive Jesus. That's what Moses was for. Moses said it already in Deuteronomy chapter 30. That's what Paul quotes today. Moses said it. He says, you don't have to try to climb up to heaven as if that's where your righteousness is found. You don't have to dig down into the earth or plumb the depths of the sea. No, he says, it's near you. It's on your lips and in your heart. It's the word of God. You already have God's righteousness when you have his promises. If you look for righteousness anywhere else, it's a self-righteousness, and you'll never find it. You'll always come up short. You'll always be disappointed. You'll always be striving and scrambling. You'll always be carrying your guilt. You will always be looking for something that's right in front of your eyes, and you cannot see it. And that's what Paul is lamenting. How often do we live in just that way? God's word is so clear. And it's so plain, and his promises are so vivid. And how often do we look for good things elsewhere? And we wonder why we can't find them, why we're never satisfied, why we can't get that itch to be scratched, why we can't free ourselves of our guilt, why we can't undo our own burdens, why we can't solve our own worry and anxiety. It's because we are missing what's right in front of our eyes, that God wants to give these things to us. He doesn't want us to go looking for them. He doesn't want us to go searching for blessings. No, he wants to come to us and to put those blessings in our lives. Here's how Joel puts it. St. Paul quotes the prophet Joel, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." There's no distinction. There's no difference. There's no where did you grow up and where have you been, what have you done, and anything like that. It's just this: call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved from everything that might trouble you, from your sin and your grief, from whatever afflicts you, from your anxiety or your worry or your distress. That's what St. Paul knows to be true. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. St. Paul has been explaining what went wrong with his brothers, the people of Israel, and his heart is broken for them. We've heard this over the last two chapters. Paul wished that if he could give up his own salvation to save his brothers, he would. But he can't, because he can't save anyone. It's Jesus who dies and saves all of us. Remember last time Paul had to explain, or maybe rather he didn't bother explaining, why God is not unjust when he shows mercy to some. Well, today Paul has to explain how it could be that the people of Israel heard God's word. They heard all of these things. They had all of these gifts, and yet they still missed it. Maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it wasn't clear enough. Maybe it hadn't been explained well enough to them. Maybe no one had preached to them. Maybe it just hadn't paid attention. Paul takes us to Isaiah 65, and he says, oh no, they had everything. In fact, the whole world has everything that it needs. The gospel has gone out to the corners of the world, that all the nations can hear, and everyone who would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. No, the problem with his brothers, and this is what breaks Paul's heart, the problem is that they heard and they rejected. They beheld the Lord of glory. They looked at Jesus, they looked him in the eye, and they say, his blood be on us and on our children. And that, what could be worse than that? And that's why Paul begins chapter 10 by saying it's his heart's desire and prayer to God for them that they may be saved. It's on Paul's mind, as it should be on all of our hearts and minds, maybe not for the Jews. They're not our relations. They're not our brothers and sisters. But how many of us do have brothers and sisters in one way or another who have wandered from the faith or who have never been in the church? Is it our heart's desire and prayer to God for them that they'd be saved? What does it take? Well, it takes hearing God's word. It takes one being sent to preach. It takes the message of God, born by the Spirit, to free them from their sin and from guilt and from death. And that is what God is giving to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. What does this have to do with us? Absolutely everything. We have a treasure beyond all measure in God's word. It is the richest thing we could ever possess. Nothing comes close. Nothing holds a candle to this treasure. It's what sets us free, and it's what would set the world free. And we can see it especially in this. The last verse of Romans chapter 10 lays it all clear. Listen to what God says about his people. He says, all day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. What does God's word teach us about his love, his character, his mercy? All day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. What does God desire more than anything? As much as Paul wants his brothers and his sisters to be saved, God wants it more. As much as we may want all to hear the gospel and be saved, God wants it more. And that is why all day long he holds out his hands. His word sounds forth, even when people reject it, even when we are hardened to it, it sounds forth. It never stops sounding. What a treasure that is. Anytime you want it, anytime your eyes are opened, anytime your heart is softened, there it is, God's word for you. Christ died for you. The mercy of God is for you. That is a gift that has no comparison. And that is something that we do well to meditate on day and night. How can we treasure such a gift as that nearly enough? Let us pray, like St. Paul, that we would have hearts set on these things, set on God's commandments, on his love for us, plumbing the depths of God's mercy. Let us never tire of treasuring this, of holding fast to this. God's word is our great heritage, and it shall be ours forever. His word endures forever. Our flesh is going to fade away. Everything else is going to fade away, but the promises of God, they last forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.